Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Here's Randy.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. Well, it is the second Friday of the month of July, which means this is Free Advice Friday. And on Free Advice Friday, I take your calls and answer your questions about your narcissistic abuse issues. If you would like to call in and speak with me and ask me your question, call 424-220-1801, 424-220-1801. If you're listening and you do have a question, please call in, because your information, your questions, and my answers help others who are listening who are maybe afraid to reach out. Excuse me. They're afraid to reach out, and so maybe if you can be bold enough to ask your question, others can benefit from it. Today I want to talk about love, because love is something that narcissistic abuse victims / survivors, and I say that victims meaning while you're actively being abused, survivors when you're out of the immediate abuse situation. After being exposed to narcissists, especially in childhood, we don't really know what love is. We think we do. But it is a problem for almost everyone that I counsel. And if you find that you're in a romantic relationship or marriage, and you have had problems with narcissistic abuse, you know, in your adult life, chances are that something in your childhood set you up for that and caused you to become vulnerable to these people. And, you know, people with narcissistic personality disorder can sniff out the gentle, kind spirits. They do. And so the reason that I say that it starts in childhood is because it really does. Something in childhood made you feel unlovable, unlikable. You witnessed love at its very worst, at its very ugliest. And maybe you were told that you were loved, or you were shown some loving behaviors, which you equated to love, but that confused you. And so when you enter your adult relationships and you think you're being loved, it's very confusing, because maybe you're not. And that's a real harsh reality. But let's start off in childhood. Let's talk about parental love. Parental love is something that is supportive, it's emotionally safe, It's uplifting. It's unconditional. So just because your parents put a roof over your head, gave you food to eat and clothed you, maybe paid for school or whatever, those are responsibilities of every parent. But when you have a narcissistic parent or an abusive parent for that matter, those parents make you feel that you owe them for those simple requirements, and you don't. When parents bring a child into this world, it is their responsibility to clothe, shelter, and keep safe their children. So if you've been raised by a narcissistic parent, that is not a demonstration of love. That's a demonstration of responsibility. Love means that you feel emotionally safe with that parent. Love means that you are accepted for who you are, for your individuality, for your choices, for your likes and your dislikes, and that there's no strings attached to those kind of things. That is what true loving parents do for their children. They provide a safety net so their children always know that they have this soft place to fall in their parents' arms. They don't name call their children. They don't choose one child over another. They don't make you feel bad about yourself. They don't make you feel like you owe them. And so often when I ask my counseling clients, were you loved as a child? I would say probably 8 times out of 10, my clients tell me that they were. And then when I ask them, why were you loved? Tell me how you were loved as a child. And most people cannot get past the responsibility aspect of it, the part where, well, they gave me a place to live, and they gave me clothes, and they fed me. And then I say, and what else? And that's generally where it ends, because narcissistic parents don't go beyond that, because narcissistic parents are all about themselves. They're not about children. They have children not to love the children, but to grow their own narcissistic supply. It's very, very sad. And to grow up and realize that the parents who you always thought you loved didn't have the capacity to ever love you, that is such a harsh reality and a very, very painful one, and one that most people find it very difficult to grasp. But the narcissist is not capable of loving anyone but him or his or herself. So they cannot love their children. Their children are there as fodder to feed them narcissistic supply. And that's easiest when the children are young, because young children love and adore their parents, and they are pleasing. But what happens is that child begins to forge an identity and become an individual, and the parent does not allow that because their individuality is a threat to the parent's supply. So they prevent the child from becoming an individual, and they do everything to prevent it by humiliating them, shaming them, blaming them, name-calling, gaslighting, all these techniques they use to make the child insecure and keep them from becoming the individual that they have every right to be. And when that person gets to be an adult, they still feel like a child because they've never been allowed to grow up. Childhood, adolescence, teenage years, these are the times where we grow up. And so we look at the world as, you know, survivors of this kind of thing. We look at the world and we look at other people, and they seem that they have it so together. They go to college and they seem to have it so together. And we look at them and we think, why do we feel like we don't? Because when you're raised like this, when you get to be an adult, when you get to be considered an adult, which is 18 years old, 21 years old, instead of your life soaring, it plummets. Everything starts to fall apart. So these are the consequences of being raised like this. And if you're raised like this, love is a very skewed ideal. For me, my parents always argued all the time. My mother emasculated my father at every possible opportunity. So my home was a war zone. My mother put my father down all the time, and then she would sick him on the children so she could always have clean hands. But my parents would say, my mother would say, no one has a husband as wonderful as I do. And my father would say, no one has a wife as wonderful as I do. And then they would go out and hold hands all the time. And so they looked like they were so much in love, yet they fought all the time, and there was absolutely no respect in the relationship. So my perception of love is that love is hard, love is dramatic, and love is painful. So when I met men in my life who had dysfunctional personalities of some sort, whether it be addiction or alcoholism or narcissism or any of these kind of things, and the relationship was very dramatic and very painful and such hard work all the time, well, that to me was love. And I see this a lot in my clients. One of the casualties of childhood narcissistic abuse is codependency. So if you are a child who was brought up in one of these families and you didn't become a narcissist yourself, the other option was for you to become a codependent. And you become a codependent because that is the way you can make your world somewhat acceptable. And you do that by pleasing your parents, keeping the climate low and calm, always doing what's asked of you, anticipating what is needed of you. And that becomes your role all through childhood. Well, you don't shed that role when you get to be an adult. That becomes your role in all your relationships, and that's what a codependent is. And you believe that as a codependent, it's your job to fix people, to make everything nice, to smooth everything over, to take away the responsibility of another individual so that you're fixing everything for them. They don't have to fix it. And then it gets very frustrating because as a codependent, you end up doing all these things for the other person and you never get anything back. Well, that's because these things were never asked for of you, and that it is not your responsibility to fix other people. But to a codependent who's grown up in the environment, such as I explained, that is your job. And it is the only way you know how to give love and get love. Let me just remind you, this is Free Advice Friday, and if you'd like to call into the show, if you're listening and would like to call in live, the number to call in is 424-220-1801. So I'm talking about the confusion of love. And so that's why people who have this background tend to go from one bad relationship to another, to another, to another. The other thing is the drama. Drama is something that is expected in a relationship, and if it's not, it feels so bland. So I have clients that say to me, well, if I get out of this relationship, it's just going to be so boring with someone else. Why? How could I be with somebody where it's not lustful and dramatic? And, you know, that to me is exciting. That's what attracts me to someone. I've been there. I remember what that feels like. It feels great to lust after someone, to be so blinded by love that you can't think straight. Well, if that happens to you, it's because you've been love bombed. And love bombing is something that narcissists do in the very beginning to sell you on them, show you a person that doesn't exist. It's a person that is based on your needs, and they offer to fulfill all your needs. And they know what your needs are because you've told them. Because in these intimate, close moments of the beginning of the relationship, there are many heart-to-hearts, and they ask you how you feel, and they ask you what pains you, and they ask you what you want out of life and what you want out of a partnership, and they become everything you want. They get all the information, and then they play the role. So this is called love bombing, and it happens in what's called the honeymoon phase of the relationship. And of course, you know, I've had clients tell me, I wasn't even attracted to this person. They're not even good looking. It wouldn't be somebody that I would ever be attracted to. And yet, somehow, I found myself head over heels over this person. Well, that is why it happens. Because they're filling all the needs, all your requirements. But it's not who they are. It's what they're trying to get from you. And this stops immediately, the very second they have you. Some people tell me, after they said their vows, after they said I do, it changed immediately. They never saw that person again. And it's very, very frustrating because it's only natural to want to recreate what you had in the beginning, because that was love to you. You were being loved for the first time in your life. Somebody cared about you. Somebody cared to know you. Somebody cared to pamper you. And you believe that that person is still there and that all you have to do is get that person back. So you make all kinds of accommodations for your partner. You make all kinds of excuses for your partner. You change who you are. You change what your needs are. You give up having any needs, all trying to pacify this person who's telling you that if you would do A, B, and C, everything would be fine. But when you do A, B, and C, everything is not fine. It may be fine for about 15 minutes. And narcissistic supply, which is what they're gaining from you as their captive, narcissistic supply is admiration, adoration, and attention. And it doesn't last because narcissists are hollow individuals. You know, you've probably said, you know, I wish he or she could just be happy. Why can't he or she just be happy? Well, the narcissist has no ability to be happy. The narcissist never will be happy. The narcissist is a hollow shell of a person who must get everything that ordinary people get from within externally. They have to be made over and praised. And some people say to me, well, they're not boastful and they don't, you know, they don't talk about how wonderful they are. In fact, they talk about all their faults. Well, narcissists do that because they want you to then say, no, you're not. Or they'll say, you never loved me. So that you'll say, what do you mean? I've always loved you. And then you're going to try harder. They'll say, I know you're cheating on me. They say it so that you can say, oh, no, I'm completely devoted to you. You have me. I'm yours for a lifetime. This is what they want to hear from you, so they fish. The put-downs and the humiliations and the manipulations are all to weaken you as an individual so that you cannot leave. Because if you leave, you feel like a nobody. This person becomes your world, and you feel like you have nothing without them. But there's also a component of brainwashing and a psychological warfare that goes on. So they change the way that you think. So the more you give in to these people, which is only natural because you're trying to get back this amazing person that you believe is still in there somewhere, and you don't realize it never truly existed. But once they begin to weaken you, they start using tactics, gaslighting tactics. They tell you that what you see, you didn't see. What you heard, you didn't hear. What you've experienced, you did not experience. That they promised you something, you can say, but you said, and they'll say, I never said that. And after a while, you begin to doubt who you are and what your perceptions are. So you become very, very dependent. And when the pain becomes so immense in these relationships and you feel like you have to leave, you go out on your own and you leave the situation, but you don't leave the relationship because in your head, you need that person, you want that person, you love that person. And because the person continues to hoover you and maybe call you from time to time or send you a text from time to time or contact you on your birthday or let you know something has happened in their family or all these kind of things, there's the illusion that that person still cares about you. But they don't do that because they care. They do that, the narcissist does that, because he doesn't want to let go of his supply. And he knows that you're very easily sucked back in. And he knows all the tactics. And I think I've actually talked about this maybe even on my last show or two shows ago about the tactics of hoovering that are so subtle that you really, that it appears to be the caring side of the narcissist when in fact it's anything but. Because as soon as a narcissist is done with you, they're done with you. You mean absolutely nothing to them. That's really hard to hear, and I'm so sorry, and it's very painful. It's very painful. It's almost impossible to accept until you hear it over and over and over. The love that you thought you had, both in childhood and in this relationship, are not real. You're nothing but an object to these people that they can use for their own needs. We're talking about parasites. Narcissist equals parasite. Their entire life, every waking moment, is about gaining narcissistic supply in whatever possible way they can gain it. And their manipulations and their control methods can be so incredibly brilliant that you never pick up on it. But when I tell you that everything a narcissist says to you is a lie and everything they do is a manipulation, I mean that to be absolutely 100% the truth. They don't say or do anything to you that is not in an attempt to control or manipulate you for their own purposes. It all goes back to them. It's hard to believe that in a relationship where you felt that there was glimpses of love, perhaps, that wasn't love at all. And it isn't until you find a relationship with a person who doesn't have dysfunctions and personality disorders and mental illnesses and all these complicated things that you realize what true love is. And true love, there's definitely chemistry, and there's definitely an attraction, but it is not blinding. It shouldn't be blinding. Anytime you feel blinded by someone's love, that's a huge red flag. Stop right there, because you need to have your full faculties about you when you're choosing a partner. You need to realize what you're doing and what they're doing. this is, you know, a partnership can be for a lifetime, and it's like a business relationship. Would you go into a business relationship with this person? Can you trust this person 100% with everything? Are you on the same, do you think the same? Do you have the same financial outlook? Do you have the same goals? Do you both want children? Do you not want children? If you want children, how do you want them to be raised? These are things that true love and true relationships build on, not on lust and sexual attraction that is so hot that you feel like you're never going to have it again. But you do have that, narcissists, in the beginning. And then generally they withdraw all sexual attention anyway at some point, or they use it to manipulate. And it becomes very one-sided. So we're talking about love. We're talking about what love really is. Love is supportive. Love is unconditional. Love is a two-way street. Love is, I know I'm using a lot of cliches, but it really is. Love is not 50-50. Love is 100% and 100%. It's each person giving their entire self to that relationship, being willing to compromise what they've always done or what they want to do in behalf of a successful relationship. This is what love is. Love is knowing that that person can go out of town on business and you don't have to monitor them, because you know that they love you and are devoted to you and relationship. Love is not having to follow somebody or look at their phone to see who they're calling and who's calling them. That is not love. Trust is a huge part of love, and the trust goes both ways. So if you're in a relationship and you're feeling miserable, I want you to look at these things. I want you to look at how this relationship makes you feel. Does it lift you up, or does it put you down? Does it play head games with you, or is it always emotionally safe? If you love this person, are you loving the person, or are you loving what you thought the person was? And these are questions that it takes a real heart-to-heart with yourself to actually determine the answers to these questions, and a lot of honesty. But if you're with a narcissist, I guarantee that when you evaluate these questions, you will not feel that you are loved. Because a narcissist cannot love. They can love themselves. They have that ability. It's a very skewed love. It's a very inappropriate kind of love. It's a very perverted, not sexually perverted, but mentally perverted kind of love. And do they love their children? That's a question I get. And this is it's always so painful for me to answer this question. But the answer is no. They do not love their children. They cannot love their children. They cannot love anybody. What hangs people up so much is thinking that the narcissist thinks the way you do, that they process thoughts the way that you do, that they feel for others the way that you do, that they have the conscience that you do, that they feel guilty like you do. The narcissist doesn't do any of those things. Only in relation to themselves. They can feel guilty about themselves. They can feel all these things. They can cry if it's about themselves. The narcissist spends a lifetime watching other people and mimicking, learning to mimic what appropriate behavior is under any given situation. They know how to show love. They know how to show affection. They know how to show attention. They know how to bring you flowers if they've hurt you. They know how to say, you know I love you. They probably won't say, I love you. They'll say, you know I love you. Well, you don't know they love you. But they watch people. They know what appropriate behavior is in a relationship and in all aspects of their life. They know how to act. So when you say, you know, but they hug me, they hold me, they hold me when I'm upset, you know, yeah, they know that that's right. But are they going to come through for you when you're upset is another thing. So you need to look at all these of this relationship and this person who is saying, you know, I love you. Sometimes you might hear a narcissist say, I do love you. If they say I love you, it's because they want something from you. If they give you something and they show a generous side, it's because they want something from you. You will always have to repay any favors given by a narcissist. So if you're in a relationship and you're questioning if you're with a narcissist, I want you to look at these things. I want you to think about these things. And if you've left this person and are wondering if you've given up the best thing in your life because you just couldn't make them happy because they told you you couldn't make them happy, because no matter what you did, you couldn't make them happy, that is not about you. That has nothing to do with you. No one can make them happy. So let that go. Be kind to yourself. You had nothing to do with being victimized. Tactics were used on you that are used on prisoners of war. Mind control was used on you. Brainwashing was used on you. You are incapable of leaving that relationship because of the psychological tactics used on you. And you were made to believe that you were responsible for everything that went wrong in that relationship. It was never about you. It was only about what you could supply. And so if you've grown up in an environment that created a codependent kind of personality for you, it is so important that you fix that problem, that you get rid of that codependency, codependent behavior, and you monitor it, because you can leave the narcissist, but you never leave the being vulnerable to these kind of people. You will always be vulnerable to these kind of people. It'll happen in friendships. It'll happen in work relationships. It'll happen in romantic relationships. It's going to happen in every aspect of your life, and you're going to wonder, why do I keep meeting people like this? And so if this has been your pattern, it's time to look inward and see what it is that you're doing. What is your behavior? What are you attracting to yourself? What are you needing that is not good for you? These are all very important things to assess. These are things that I certainly can help you with through counseling. And I tell people, you know, if you work with me, you're not going to be in counseling for a year or 2 years. You're probably going to be in it for a few months before you're strong enough to be able to start building your life again. Because I understand this so well, and I hope you realize that. I hope you realize I'm not trying to sell you on counseling for me. I'm trying to sell you on counseling for you, because I know that you can become a completely different person, and it's not that difficult to do. It seems overwhelming, but I know how to get you there. I know how to get you there. I know what you're feeling. I've lived it, and I know how to overcome it. I've overcome it, but I've also researched it. I know this disorder inside out, and I know what happens with the abuse inside out. This is about rebuilding your inner self that was never built. It is about self-love. It is about self-validation. It's about not needing to be told who you are and if it's okay to say something or it's okay to feel a certain way. These are all things that I work with my clients with. What I want you to do, is if you find that you are beating yourself up, feeling overly responsible for something that, as I've explained, is not your responsibility, I want you to say to yourself, would I make someone that I care about feel as bad as I'm making myself feel? I monitor myself like this all the time. If I'm beating myself up or I'm feeling like I said something stupid or I crossed the line somewhere and I start beating myself up, I say to myself, okay, would you make your children, would you put this heaviness on your children? Would you put this on your husband? Would you put this on your sisters and brothers or any friends that you love, people that you love in your life? Would you put this heaviness on them? And the answer is no. And that is when you have to say to yourself, okay, then I'm not going to put it on me because I have to learn to love myself because nobody's going to love me if I don't love me. And I have to learn to love properly so that when I meet the right, excuse me, when I meet the right person, I will know how to love, give love, and receive love. So this is a really good starting point for you. As far as learning to love yourself, it is something that requires constant monitoring initially. It gets to be habit after a while, and you learn to let it go, and you learn to lighten up with yourself and not blame yourself. But when I tell you that you can't do this initially alone, trust me on that, you can't. You will relapse. You will fall back into patterns. If you think that you've gotten away from the narcissist and now you're feeling great and you're feeling free, trust me, it won't last. Those old feelings are going to creep back in and you're going to be in pain again. So to get out of pain once and for all, I really recommend that you get help. The only reason I recommend myself is because I really don't know who to recommend, who I would trust with you and your mental health in this regard. There may be other issues that that you can trust other people with, but I can't recommend you to someone else and feel that I'm recommending you to a mental health counselor that's going to take care of your needs as a narcissistic abuse victim. I know that I will. And so that's why I recommend myself. It doesn't mean you can't go out and search for someone who has the qualifications that I have, because you certainly can. And just to remind you, I do all my counseling over the phone, and now I've added Skype. So I'm Skyping to people in other countries, and it's very, very cool. I like the Skype because I can see you and you can see me and I can see what you're going through. I don't just have to hear it in your voice. I can see what you're going through. So if you're interested in making an appointment with me, just go to randigfine.com, RANDIGFINE.com, and then go to the Fine Life Issues Counseling page. I've made it very easy for you. You can either make a telephone appointment right there on that website, and you can make a Skype appointment right there. You just click on the buttons that I lay out for you, I explain to you, click on them, you pick a date, I verify it, and we're set for appointments. My fee is very low because, like I said, I want to help you. I do want to help you. I find that my goal really is to bring this problem, expose this problem for what it is worldwide, which is why I wrote the book Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, The Narcissistic Abuse Survivor's Guide to Healing, which is in editing phase right now, and then I'll be shopping for a publisher. I wrote that book, and I intend for it to go global, because this is not something particular to you. And I tell all my clients, you feel so alone, but you have hundreds of thousands of brothers and sisters out there in the world that suffer as you do, that have experienced what you do, what you have, not specifically, but in general. You are not alone with this, and it is my mission to get this out into the world so that I can help people. People can become aware of why they're in so much pain. It's taken you a long time to find why you're in pain. and to find me. So that's all I have to say for the show. The next show that I'll be doing where I take your calls and answer your questions is going to be on August 12th at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. If you cannot call in live, you can email me ahead of time at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. Send me your questions and ask me to answer them on air on the next show, and I certainly will. And then I'll send you the link, and you'll be able to listen. So there's no reason why you can't get your questions answered. I will answer them. Just send them to me or call into the next show on Friday, August 12th at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. I look forward to hearing from you. I look forward to helping you. And I do want you to feel better. So time is up for today. But if you have any comments or questions or want to submit questions to me, you can email me again at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. And visit my website at randygfine.com. I think there's probably about 500 articles there, quotes and all kinds of things that you can flip around and spend some time there. And also links to my counseling, links to every show that I've ever done, which is probably at this point about 250. I've been doing this for 5 years, and I have quite a few followers. And thank you for being a loyal follower. Thank you for listening and allowing me to help you this way. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. So thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. I am Talk Radio show host Randy Fine, life issues counselor and author, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, randygfine.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be